Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Fan Experience Podcast. And we are streaming live on Instagram for the first 10 minutes, just to, you know, welcome some of our Instagram followers. So welcome, everybody. You know, feel free to comment on IG Live. So episode 49, for those of you who do not know and are just tuning in, I am your host, Mike Kados, and alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how you doing?
Doing well, Mike. It is Inauguration Eve. Tomorrow, obviously, America inaugurates a new president. But before we get there, we got to break down what was an exciting weekend in sports. The GOAT, Tom Brady, leads his Bucks to victory. Patrick Mahomes doesn't make it out of the divisional round. And yet, Chad Henne makes the throw of the ages to get them to the AFC Championship. And big rumors about trades in the NFL as well, and a lot going on in baseball. But I think we got to start with NFL weekend, you know, and a lot of great games. But we start with the Chiefs and the Browns, which was a game that looked like the Chiefs were complete control. And then all of a sudden, a missed field goal, an extra point, and all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes going for a 4th-and-2, gets tackled, concussion. And there were nerves in Kansas City. And then all of a sudden, Andy Reid said, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to go for it on a 4th-and-1. Hits Chad Henne out of nowhere. The backup hits Tyreek Hill, leading the Chiefs into the AFC Championship. I mean, an incredible weekend, an incredible game. And now it's Chiefs-Bills in the AFC Championship. Mike, your thoughts on that incredible divisional game Saturday? Or was it Sunday?
The Bills or the Chiefs?
The Chiefs was Sunday. I'm sorry, it was Sunday.
Chiefs was Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anything is possible.
Anything is possible, my friend.
That's what they're saying. So, I mean, you know, yes, the Chiefs were cruising, and what was it, like the end of that third quarter, or yeah, right at the beginning of the fourth quarter?
22-10.
It was 19-10 at that point.
It was 19-10, yeah.
Yeah. So it was 19-10 at that point, and you know, Patrick Mahomes tried to run it down for a first down, and he got taken down. What looked like a helmet to helmet, but it was not. It was a helmet to the shoulder, but the defender wrapped his arm around Mahomes' neck, and when he went down, the defender also tried to get his arm out of there. And because it was, like, you know, sandwiched in there or whatever the case is, you know, he turned it a little bit, which definitely exacerbated things a little bit. You know, I don't think it was a dirty hit. Mahomes' mother was tweeting to the guy saying it was an absolutely dirty hit and yeah, blah, blah, blah. But Mahomes cleared the air. He said, it's like, all good. All good, bro.
Well, I mean, like, he wrenched his neck, but we won't get into that. Yeah,
I don't think it was intentional. Okay. You know, if I watched the replay multiple times, and you could see him trying to open his hand to try and get his hand away. So I think it was purely incidental. It was certainly not something that anybody wanted to see. And he did clear a couple of tests today.
He did.
He's still got to clear a lot more if he's going to play on Sunday. And, I mean, obviously, everybody, you know, the whole NFL hopes, even Bills fans, want Mahomes to play.
Mahomes got to play.
Yeah. To a point, I guess. But you want to beat the best. Yeah. If you're going to get to the Super Bowl, you want to beat the best. You don't want to beat Chad Henne to get to the Super Bowl.
No.
So I still think that the Bills can beat Mahomes and the Chiefs. That remains to be seen. So, you know, prayers to Patrick, the $500 million man. And, let's hope he is healthy and good to go for Sunday.
Absolutely. Yeah. What can you say about Chad Henne coming off the sidelines and making a great throw there? You know, a couple of great throws. He got that 3rd-and-14, got that first down on that. That was 3rd-and-14. when they were backed up over there, made a big run there, got him the first down. So that's a great performance on his behalf. And then you had the game of the week, obviously everybody waited to see, which was Tom Brady and the Bucs against the Saints. And I picked the Saints to win that game at home. And it was looking good for a while. And all of a sudden, Brady made some plays down the stretch and just put that game away. And that guy, you know, what can you say, man? That's why he's the GOAT. He's clutch. He was clutch when he needed to be. He made some throws. And that's where they're going to the NFC Championship game against Green Bay. Obviously, Green Bay played the Rams. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was just incredible. I mean, an incredible performance by him in that cold weather up there. And then you had, obviously, the Bills against the Ravens, and I picked the Ravens in that game because I thought Lamar had a bounce, it was going to have a great game, and that was a tough game for them. But championship weekend is going to be a lot of fun. I still have the Chiefs and the Packers playing in the Super Bowl. That's where I think it's going to be, but it's going to be interesting to see if the Bills can pull the upset. It depends if Mahomes obviously plays and if Brady can go into Green Bay with like 2 degrees and pull off another win, you know, and another great playoff performance. So it's going to be exciting to watch this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, granted that Mahomes plays, I think it's going to be one of the best championship weekend lineups that we have seen in a while.
I think he's going to play.
Thank you very much, Joshua. Yeah,
thanks, Joshua. I think he's going to play.
Yeah, I think Mahomes is going to play. I mean, it's good that he cleared, you know, the first round of whatever he had to today. But you know, just fingers crossed that it happens. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know. I didn't want to see Breeze go out the way he did, you know, 3 picks.
That was rough.
But that obviously, you know, Breeze looking back at the crowd, you know, one last time, you know, gives you. You know, it stirs up some feelings in there, but
I think, 11 ribs, man, I mean, it's time to hang.
But
up,
I think, of course, but that video after with Brady coming out and hanging out with Breeze and the kids, that was, you know, I don't want to punch my TV when I see Brady win a game. You know, I think it's something about the jersey, man. I mean, you know, that the Patriot effect, the, that New England effect is heavy, but in Tampa Bay, you know, I feel like it's a brand new person. And I just watched the Entourage episode that he was in last night, and you know, I feel like Turtle. I'm coming around on the guy. I want to go to dinner and get some chocolates.
I think people, you know, he's a success. He's successful. The guy works hard. He came from the sixth round. He works hard. I think people up in New England obviously have a bias against New England, but look, man, he's put in the work and he's earned every accolade that you can ask that he's achieved and accomplished. So, you know, people hate, but you can't look, man, he puts up those numbers and he keeps winning. You can't hate on that. All you got to do is respect it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, Tom Brady, LeBron James in our era, I don't know that we'll ever see athletes like that. Like I don't know that you'll ever see guys like that. Like, just incredible at their age. What they're doing is just unreal.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's a little bit older, but certainly, you know, he definitely has he has something that's going to live on for a long time as, you know, as one of the greatest
clutch gene, my friend, the clutch.
No, absolutely. So just a quick honorable mention and, you know, the Super Bowl officials have been announced. Yes. And for the first time ever, there is going to be a female referee at the Super Bowl, you know, so it's another step in the right direction for the women in sports. And, you know, we're always happy to see that. And I say that because our next guest is somebody that has been very successful as an MLB Players Association certified player agent for well over a decade. Now joining us is Lonnie Murray.
Hi, you guys.
Doing great. Lonnie. How are you, Lonnie?
I'm good.
Great.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. You know.
Fantastic.
So you know, thank you very much for coming on. You know, it's a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, we start off pretty much, you know, every conversation with, we bring it all the way back. Like, where did your love for sports come from?
I think I'm just maybe aggressive by nature. So outlet, you know, it was better than fighting. It was structured aggression. Literally competitive with brother, with my siblings, and sports channeled that energy.
Now, where did you grow up? Did you grow up like watching and then playing, or, you know, how did that go?
I'm originally from Camden, New Jersey, and was raised in Washington State. And it was never, you know, my dad was always real. He didn't treat me and my sisters different than my brother. So we wrestled, we played football, we did all that stuff. And it was never something you thought about. It wasn't that that's what boys do and that's what girls do. I don't know that I ever owned a Barbie. Yeah, I did have something Hello Kitty once, but, you know.
Right. So, Lonnie, your career is interesting because...
I have money now, so...
God. Your career is interesting because you started in non-for-profit, right? Like, you didn't really start in sports. You started, like, in your career as non-for-profit. So tell us about that.
Well, if we go way back, my first job was actually at Safeway, but I don't know if you want to talk about my career as a deli girl, you know? After high school, the nonprofit sector just meant a lot to me. I was in the foster care system, and being one of the things that kept me really engaged and grounded is I'd always volunteer for stuff. I'd see flyers about this walkathon or this 5K, and it was one of those things that I could do on my own. I remember running in a 5K in the third grade that I signed myself up for. It was an outlet. And so not working in the nonprofit sector, similar to how I ended up here, just it was divine intervention, God's hands just guiding me where I'm supposed to be at the right time.
That is incredible. And then that's how you segued into professional sports. And you started, was it as an intern that you started, or was it just like your entry level job? Like, how did that play out?
Well, first, let me ask, do we curse on this show?
Yeah,
go for it.
Go for it.
Okay. So probably not intern, probably more like bitch in charge.
Wow. Okay. I like it. This is good stuff. Here we go.
Yeah. Keeping in mind that I worked for it was called Team Up for Youth at the time. It's now called Coaching Corps. Okay. The organization was formed by the Haas family.
Wow. Okay.
On the Oakland A's. And so there was some strong, family ties to the A's, et cetera, right there in Oakland. Mm-hmm. So, because now I'm in Oakland, I'm no longer in Washington. Okay.
Right.
So,
we're following. We got it.
Yeah, we're good. The timeline is on. We're good.
Perfect. Okay. So, I had a reputation. I was told by Dave Stewart is, wow, I heard you were a miracle worker. And my response was, I've been called a lot of things. I'll say that in a positive way. And at that time, he was starting an agency. And so he was like, you know, I could really use your help. And for me, it's like I teach my kids, you know, you could do anything that except brain surgery. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? It's just so. But they segued, or, you know, they're the same thing if you're doing right by people.
Right.
Because that's what this is. And mm-hmm. that's where when I talk to young men and women that want to get in the industry, it truly first needs to be about establishing your why. If, you know, and if it's about money Not only will I inform you, you are in the wrong business when it comes to baseball, but I will also caution that it's going to take, you know, some grossness on your part, because you're going to have to sell bullshit to people because you're not going to mean what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. I agree. You know, it's all about people. Like, if you're going to be, you know, looking out for people's best interests, you can't be doing it with a bad motive behind it. Cause then, you know, you're never going to go anywhere. You know, you might be successful for like, you know, a year or two, but it's not going to be sustainable. People are going to see through it. And, I worked at places where, you know, people just wanted to make a buck and, you know, I couldn't do it. Like, you know, it was just immoral for me. And I'm like, I don't care how much money I'm making doing this. Like, it's not worth, you know, any part of the sleep that I'm losing. So, I definitely, kudos to you. So talk to us about, like, so obviously when you started going in, you started in 2004. Is that correct?
Yeah. 2004 is more foundation laying. Fortunately for, he's Dave Stewart. So he had opportunities, you know, the first client was Eric Chavez, you know, and that was a record deal at the time of $60 million. Mm-hmm. And so here's me in the background, like, that's all we had to do. Like, and you were soft. So
wow, all right.
So not really. I take that back. So
no, that's okay.
But just, you know, I think that, are you two married?
I am.
Okay.
I'm single.
Do you have sisters? Do you have sisters?
No, I'm the only child.
I have one sister.
Okay. Well, I don't know what your mom is like, but my sons will also tell you that I am constantly evaluating things to see how I could do it better. And so being able to watch someone else do what they do, mm-hmm. and really having such a strong interest in it because you know and you engage with the people involved. And being able to not pat yourself on the back, but really pinpoint how you could have done it better, no matter how happy the client is. That to me is where I continue to grow and I continue to be challenged and excited by what I do.
That's amazing. And, obviously you come off of a very strong willed woman, but back then, how was the landscape as far as, you know, representatives go, and agents go, as far as, you know, the male to female ratio?
Non-existent. I didn't know of any. I had heard about Charisse Dash, and it was my understanding at the time that she worked with guys out of the Dominican, which I had just begun to dabble in when I first heard her name. And, great. I didn't think about reaching out to her for mentorship or anything like that. I've always been relatively independent. And because of the males that I had around me, I thought at that time that I got enough from them. I don't think that there needs to be a separator, between whether I have a male mentor or a female mentor. That never occurred to me at the time. Now I understand for some, especially if you're younger, but I think my particular path in life has afforded me that mindset. And, I don't fault anyone for seeing it different.
Okay.
The landscape was, it didn't really exist for me at the time. Now when it hit, and that's not to say that there wouldn't be times that I walked into a room and wasn't intimidated. And some people that I walked into a room with will probably be surprised to hear that now, because, you know, I just put my armor on and, you know, you muster through it. And, but it wasn't until when Dave left the company and went on to the D-backs And the question came up, what's going to happen with the agency? And I should say the question for other people came up. For me, it was, see ya, you know, okay, no, good luck, you know. And I didn't think anything else about it, but other people created all this angst and all this, oh my God, and it became a thing, which, you know, frankly speaking now, because I'm so far beyond it, made me nervous. Like, right. That shit effed with me. You know? And so it's like, put those people away, because once you like flatten the land in front of you, you know, find calmer ground so that you can think straight without other people's crap coming into it, then you can do what you need to do. And so what I realized is, because obviously I'm losing Dave Stewart's name. Right. So now clients, you know, aren't going to come as easy. Are the clients that we have going to stay? And I felt like I had a really good familial relationship with each of them. There were two in particular I did not want to keep. And then there was only one that literally asked the question, not of me, but of Dave, would she even know how to talk to a GM?
Wow.
Yes. Now this is the same dude that during the off season, I'm the one leading the charge on our training programs, on our off season development.
Yeah.
And so quite frankly, he was one of the weakest little bitches in the group. I don't know how to talk to a GM. So like, I wanted the opportunity to confront it, but I didn't want to create a stink. So he went on, you know, he's doing okay now.
I was going to ask you, obviously you talk about when losing Dave Stewart, but what are other obstacles that you had to face as you had to keep clients, build your book? Like, what are some of the things that you had to confront as you were growing this agency?
I decided to enter the amateur market.
Okay.
Which we did not do. We only did referrals to that point because we could. So, you know, and now it's like, who the hell is Lonnie? And, you know, whose mom is she out there? So going to the ballpark and trying to recruit amateur clients and get involved in that landscape was probably mentally more challenging for me. Fortunately by that point I had coached, or led a team, you know, some of these little rugrats still call me team mom, but, I was actually, you know, like a coach that sat in the stands, that's all. So, about six of those guys ended up either being offered D1 scholarships are doing really well in their respective programs. And so it gave me a little bit of a reputation amongst other parents, because then word starts to spread, if that makes sense. And so I'm out of the ballpark, I'm building relationships with scouts once they get over that initial, you know, I had one guy, you know, I'm there watching a 6'5" blonde hair, blue eyed pitcher standing behind with my own gun. And he says, you know, is that your son? Now, I know that he really needs to ask. Well, he's basically like, what are you doing? Right. But he can't say that. And so I just said, yeah. And he was like, oh, he must look a lot like his dad. I don't know, you know. And so then
these guys, man.
Yeah,
incredible.
You know, it's funny because now I say, well, I don't really know who the dad is. So
wow,
it's fun. And so
play their game. That's it.
Yeah,
totally. And so what ended up happening with that guy is it ultimately came out that I was an agent. He told me that that wasn't possible. That I was going to have a lot of difficulty. So fast forward, we're 2 years later and he's referring me guys, you know? And so what I attribute it to, and I believe that most would tell you if you ask people in the industry, is that I earned my stripes by being consistent. I earned my stripes by being one of the first at the ballpark and one of the last to leave. You know, one of the things that I, you know, really started to hear and what I really appreciated is when guys say, damn, girl, you're here? Like, where aren't you? You know, and it's like, it's me. And so being able to spread that in the amateur market was awesome. And within the first 2 years, I had a second round pick, you know, and then others riddled throughout the draft, you know. And so it's been really good. But I cap off every year being a small boutique agency. I have to stop and say each year I literally will not take like sign, tell guys I've got you from that 6 month backward. I cap at 8, period.
Really?
Because of the amount of time that it takes if you're doing and being there for the kid and his family the way you need to be. Telling them what they need to do, not telling them what you're going to do, but actually explaining the process with them and empowering them with the information to make decisions for themselves, make the right decisions.
And for our viewers who, you know, we have a lot of young kids who watch us, who want to be agents, who want to get in the sports industry. Tell, what's that like to deal with the families, the kids, all that goes into it, like the real behind the scenes about it. Like, give us a little bit of insight on that. Cause I find that fascinating that all, like, you're like another parent, another mom, like you do so much for them. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah. It literally goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. Okay. You know, you've got the families, like I'll call them out. You've got, I'll call out the positive ones.
Okay.
On the high school side, you've got like Isaiah Green and Elijah Green, his brother Elijah with the Angels. Their parents were just, when they made the decision to say, we want you to represent our sons. And when the boys said, and it was like a proud day because I went to their house, they interviewed me, I went to leave, I was in my car, and then here these two little boys come down the driveway, like, we've already made a decision. It was like one of those proud mommy moments.
Yeah.
So, but once they made that decision, they never faltered in their confidence or trust of me. Right. Which made it incredibly awesome for me because it was like, hey, you guys, you know, this is getting ready to happen. Let me explain to you. And it was, we trust you. No, let me explain it anyway. you know? And that was really awesome. You know, on the flip side of the coin, you have, and I have to give Ryan Garcia's dad, Edgar, props. Ryan Garcia out of UCLA, now with the Rangers. Because he was just like, Lonnie girl, you got this, you know. I was like, okay, but your kid's got a dude and I expected you to be that dad, you know. And so on the other side of the coin, you have some parents that when you're giving them the hard truth, and not because I see it as a place of help. If I'm telling you something negative, it's because I want you to develop and be better, whether it's off the field or on the field, whether it's character, whether it's your deodorant, it doesn't matter. The problem. And so, you know, you get some parents that literally jump in and take offense where the kids don't typically. The kids, we usually have a good vibe. But it's the parents placing their own value adds on it. And so it's, if it's related to field stuff, I get everything from the, but you're a girl and what do you know kind of look, or you get the, you know what, Lonnie, I just really don't think that you believe in my son. I posted about this the other day because a question was asked and it was like, I'm sorry you brought this up in this forum. But you're the guy that said your son was Hunter Green, but you were using a pocket radar and he only hits the backstop. Like, that is not Hunter Green. And, you know, just And so you get those, and you'd be surprised how many of those you actually get. And I'm fine with those guys leaving.
Yeah.
Rick, you could take.
No, I was. I mean, I'm just your. I'm so impressed by your character. Like, you have just a strong character. Like, do you walk into like these GM offices and be like, "Here's the deal. This is the way it's gonna be. Like, this is what we're gonna do." And that is that the way you kind of negotiate, or is it kind of like, you know?
No, I'm nice. I'm very nice. Yeah. It depends on the situation. Okay. As of right now today, I think that I have a very good rapport with pretty much everyone, even like, I won't say his name, but there was one GM, not this last draft, but the 2019 draft, that I still tell him he robbed me. Wow. It was the draft, because typically there's like there's an unwritten rule that if we don't agree, don't call his name. And this team called his name and we had an agreement. Now it was only for, I say only, but it really meant a lot to me that it was for 20,000 less, even though it was at the higher of the round, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was the second. And so it was just like, and I can say that because there was a few in the second, so you still won't know which one it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I called him, like, what did you do? You know? And he was like, what are you talking about? What was the offer? And I was being honest, where I think most agents would have said, oh, it was $100,000 more, you know? And he was like, Lonnie, it's 20K and we're a better org and this is what's going to happen. He's going to be on the fast track and blah, blah, blah. I was like, do you sleep at night knowing you still can't? Like, is that okay? And so that's like the running thing now where it happened and it's like, okay, now I know how you play. You know that I believe he knows now that I'm going to call him out. And, you know, the first time, you know, shame on you. There won't be a second time.
Got it.
So I have an inkling on who it could be, but we could play a little guess who. My feeling is he's probably not a GM right now. But anyway, you mentioned Isaiah Green, and I'm a huge Mets fan. Okay, a couple of weeks ago there was a very big trade. You know, that got rid of, you know, one of our prize prospects being Isaiah Green. And, you know, we got Lindor, you know, so I'm not upset about it. But my question to you is, like, how does a deal like that go down? Because I know there was a lot of players involved, you know, some were obviously yours, some were others. You know, how does something like that go down? And, you know, what are the logistics of it all?
Okay. So it depends first on whether it's a minor leaguer or a major leaguer. For that situation, I only dealt with the minor leaguer. Okay. Mm. And so the answer to that is you find out when you find out. And again, gotcha. This is where it goes to relationships. If you have relationships that afford you the privilege of getting information before Twitter gives it to you, that's the most valuable, because then you can prepare your client, which I was able to do. Okay. Now, from a major league perspective, there is usually some discussion with the, you know, it starts out with the team, between the teams. And again, if you have relationships with one of the two teams or both, you're hearing about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if you're not at that stage in your career yet, the first thing is try to be. Like, go talk to the player development people. Go try to keep your ear to the ground. Talk to the lowest person on the totem pole. Work your way up. And but then as things go further along, typically they'll call the agent in advance. They'll talk to the kid in advance so that they know that it's happening. Because some guys, you're going to get a lot of pushback. You know, other guys are going to be very excited about maybe going to their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this situation for me, You know, and that's the other part is, especially for minor league guys, when a guy is the very first time he experiences being traded, I have never experienced it where a kid did not feel like the team broke up with him. It was like the first breakup in high school with some girl, you know, and you're like, baby, no, it wasn't you. It was like, it's just the way that things happen sometimes, you know? And so, but in this situation where you're, you're going to the fucking Indians and they need you. The Mets don't need you. Like, right. It sounds cool. It's great media market. So better off-field money, maybe. But the Indians will need you way sooner. Their development, their minor league development is off the charts. Mm-hmm. The people that make up that organization, I love them. Like, it's great all the way around. And I have two other guys there. So that's one less separation to Florida spring training. I have to be right here in Arizona.
There you go.
All right.
So, you know, as far as the move goes for the player, do you assist them with everything with that?
Minor leaguers don't have anything to move. Maybe I will send you an air mattress. Okay.
Wow.
No. Major leaguers, yes. Or, you know, not even the bonus babies should be really, you know, one of my main things with even guys who have been bonus babies at the league level is to maintain your humility. Let's establish what the budget is going to be per year prior to you getting it. That way there's no confusion about what you're doing, how you're flossing, what you're spending your money on prior to getting there. And that's usually a conversation I have with the kid and his family prior to the draft.
Got it.
Great.
Mike, you want to ask that question that we have somebody who wants to ask a question, a career question. Mike, yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. So what would you tell, what kind of advice would you give people that are, you know, struggling in the, you know, the representing business, the agent business, and, you know, what tips should they look to go to succeed and make, you know, get out of their rut, I guess.
This goes back to something I said earlier about first establishing your why. If you're in a rut, you know, that starts with self. You have to identify what it is about you in this business, in the representation business, right? Because it is a people business. The only thing you're doing is, and I hate selling because I don't sell anybody anything. I tell them who I am. And while I'm telling them who I am, I'm also figuring out who they are. And sometimes I don't call back. Like, and, you know, it's just the way that it is. You know, and I've had people say, oh, well, you missed out because you took so long to call us back. I was, I never called you back. That was on purpose. I didn't forget it, you know? Like, because usually they like to say it in front of other people. Did something? No, bruh. So what I would say is first identify what is your why, because your why is what drives you. Again, so we go back to, if it's money, well, people are probably smelling that on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next part is what do you identify as success? Because if your idea of being a successful agent is buying the gold-rimmed Louis Vuitton glasses and having the haircut and the $500 kicks, you got that twisted too, okay? Because the more you floss, the more your player is going to think that they should be receiving all that as well. Mm-hmm. And so then what is your body of work, okay? So if you haven't accomplished much as an agent, because we all start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
If you haven't accomplished much, what is your involvement? Are you going to games and getting to know scouts and, you know, honing in on your scouting ability? Can you provide advice on a swing, on a pitch, on the run? And if you can't, that's fine too. That takes time. But guess what? You can pick up on heart. You can pick up on intent of the player. You can pick up on their body language. Like, there has to be something that you're special at that you can spread and share that becomes of value to other people. Because all anybody ever really wants to do is be better, partly regarded as better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, no, great advice. And for those of you out there, that is great advice. So, Lonnie, I wanted to touch on, you know, obviously 2020 was a crazy year, but I thought it was the year of women in sports, right? Kim Ng with the Marlins, you know, right. Sarah Thomas is going to referee a Super Bowl. Becky Hammon, you know, getting head coaching opportunities, like a lot of progress and a lot of good, you know, momentum for women in sports. I just want to get your thoughts around that. And do you see in the next 5 years, maybe a woman being a commissioner in one of the four sports?
Well, my first thought about it all, it's obviously great, right?
Yeah.
So that's like, rah, rah, okay, girl, but it's not for me. And oh God, I fear what's going to come as a result of this. I'm not going to celebrate like some major earth shattering. Hey, come say hi. It's Mike Kados and Rick Molina.
Fan hey. Experience, how you doing?
Hey,
how's it going?
How's it going?
It's Billy Davis.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Little Zoom call going, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I like you.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a big day for the Mets. I know you guys already know that.
He's a Mets fan.
I'm a huge Mets fan.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Every day for the Mets.
Yeah. They're probably going to quiz me on that later. Yeah,
no, we're going to try and stay away from that.
Yeah, we're trying to stay away from that. We don't want to go there.
Okay. I promise not to curse on that one. What was I telling you?
Oh, but just like we're talking about women in sports and all the progress that's been made.
You can't celebrate something that should have been done a long time ago.
Right.
I can mm-hmm. celebrate with Kim and freaking and be amped that she got the job, right? Like,
right.
Because even if there were 100 other women in the position, you would be celebrating that someone you know earned the right to get the job, right?
Right.
But you can't celebrate something that should have been, especially mm-hmm. when there's so much more to do and so much further to go.
Mm-hmm.
So no one gets a medal except Kim for sticking around for 30 years with that, you know?
Yeah.
And same with the other women that have persevered and continue to seek to make those accomplishments despite every reason not to.
Yeah.
You know, I represent Bianca Smith as well. You know, the first African-American black woman to be hired by MLB as a coach.
Right.
One of the interesting things is like, I can celebrate. I too am a black woman. I too, you know, I am a woman, despite some people maybe forgetting at times. It's like, you know, say rah rah, and because we have a tendency to get complacent when that happens,
right.
And it's not very rewarding when what's focused on is her race. And is her gender, which seems to have overridden people's thoughts about the fact that she went to Dartmouth. She's
yeah,
a JV NBA. She played baseball. She coaches baseball. You know, and for some reason, those things often get eliminated from the discussion, which also plays a role in people's perceptions of why people got a job.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah. So Lonnie, what do we do? Like, how do what do we do to change the perspective? Like, have you in the same sentence with like a Boris or like one of these agents? Like, what more can be done to like elevate like women to ownership positions, to commissioner positions, to you know, GM positions in any of the leagues? Like, what else can we do? Like, how do we push the ball forward?
I think that we have to be more serious about our intentions.
Okay.
I think that we have to stop patting. It's like I said a second ago,
mm-hmm. yeah.
We have to stop patting ourselves on the back for baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, most people in baseball that have the ability to make changes, the necessary changes to truly invoke change, real change.
Yeah.
They didn't get there pussyfooting around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They got there by making bold moves. And so it shouldn't be, I'll give you an example. A certain GM that I know,
okay,
when it came his time and there were black candidates that he felt were overqualified for certain positions within the org, there came a point where he had to step back and say, I can't hire everyone I want to hire because people will think that it's only because they're black.
Wow. It's crazy.
The same thing goes for women. When men are hired, yes, you know, you have the old school versus new school, like, oh, he's an Ivy League guy, that's why he was hired. And oh, you know, there's all these reasons, right?
Yeah.
But we have to get over that. Mm-hmm. And we have to create, not, you know, we have the pipeline, and Tyrone Brooks to this point has done a phenomenal job, you know, with the Take the Field program, with really trying to create a pipeline for people, both minority and women to get engaged in the game. However, Tyrone is one person. And there has to be a better way, a more systemic way to create sponsorship opportunities for these young men and women, or older women and men, to take advantage of opportunities, because I think it's easy on one hand to say, oh, you know, it's because he's white and went to an Ivy League, or I think that's easy to do, but I think that it's so much more, because it's not always about that. It's about who you know, who you hang out yeah. with. Who do you goes to? Who do you feel comfortable? I hate the word even saying who you're comfortable with, because I'm a black woman, and I think most people, at least after they get to know me, are comfortable.
Yeah, 100%.
But it takes that, because we all come to the table with these, you know, cognitive or implicit biases that come from our own experiences, and until we get to know someone, and what's that saying? There's not a person you wouldn't like if you knew their story.
Right.
You know, but without those sponsorship programs, without true pipeline and opportunities to engage, how do you really get to know the qualities of a candidate?
Yeah.
Interviews don't cut it.
Yeah. You're right. I agree with you.
Interviews are equivalent to teams going over to the Dominican and watching a kid in a showcase versus in game situation.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. No.
Doesn't tell you nothing.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. See, I'm with you. I think we need to build a pipeline, do all that, but even building the pipeline, like, I don't know why they still get these guys from Harvard and Yale like that. I don't think that cuts it. Like, there's talent out there. I don't know why they just don't dip into that talent, male or female, whatever they are, and just get the best, regardless of where you went to school, and elevate them. I just don't know why people don't do that. I don't get it.
When I was hired by the Haas by Team Up for You, you know, you're talking about applicants from Stanford, Cal Berkeley, and some of the other prestigious universities around the Bay Area and afar, because it's the Haas family.
Yep.
They preferred to hire, kids. Cal State Hayward was a big one. And the thought was, when you had some of these more, you know, prestigious applicants walking in, they tended to think more in a certain fashion that they were educated versus the Cal State Hayward guys and gals who were more outside of the box thinkers, because they weren't afforded the same privileges or opportunities or cookie cutter approaches to doing things. They weren't indoctrinated into a mentality of, well, it's Stanford, so we do things this way. You know, it was, no, how do I get this shit done?
Like, yes, exactly.
How do I, yeah. yeah.
That's absolutely yet. So.
Go ahead, Mike.
So obviously, you know, Rick was asking, you know, about, you know, possibly having, you know, women in, you know, in ownership positions and, you know, executive positions, commissioner positions. We have that, you know, Kim Ng at the GM level. What's your, you know, 5-year plan? Are you looking to do anything else, you know, and rise above and, you know, and put yourself in that position? Because, you know, I mean, you've built that consistency, you've built that rapport. You know, is that something that you're looking forward to, or just happy where you are?
I'm very happy at this time in my life with where I am, while I still aspire to do other things that I am working on. Mm-hmm. I've got a car club with my brother. Okay. You know, an exotic car club, you know. Yeah. We're launching that here shortly. We've got 5 Lambos and a wow. Sprinter, and you know, like, that's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, I'm very much involved in the land deal at the Oakland Coliseum site, and right. That has been consuming and challenging, which is what I love. And we will see where that goes. That's a huge deal, but it also puts me back in the Bay Area landscape. And it's set, while it's separate of baseball, it's still very much, you know, close to it. Mm-hmm. But it's real estate development, and so we'll see where life has been. Life has been good to me, and thank God for that. Absolutely. And so I'm very happy with what I'm doing. A few of my guys, they know they need to get their shit together. They know that, and when you say 5 years, yeah. I am going to cap the number of players I represent, probably in 5-10 years. And I say, there will be 10 of you. Who's it going to be? It's going to be whoever makes the most money. So get it together. So they literally have this thing going. And so it's fun banter, but I don't aspire to be, you know, a larger agency. I love what I do because I get to be hands-on with each of the kids.
God.
Yeah, no.
Oh, and I'm doing an academy in the Dominican. I forgot about that.
Oh, you
that's
are
in the final.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. Which is something that I really love. I've always loved going over, working with the kids, and providing opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have. That's rewarding, just like it is here.
Wow. Awesome. Well, you know, hey, you're taking life by the horns, and that's why life's been good. You know, you're making it good. So, you know, never. Kudos to you. Rick, you could take.
No, I was gonna. I mean, so you know, with your personality and your energy, I mean, I know being an agent is great, but are there things outside of sports, outside of baseball, ventures that you want to be involved in to make a difference out there? Because you know, with your personality, I just see you being such a force to do good and do some change. Have you thought about doing things outside of the sports arena? Has that crossed your mind in any way?
So to be more clear, the real estate, the land project in Oakland is really about bringing and uplifting the East Oakland community. You're talking about a lot of land that currently sits unused and a community, beautiful land, and a community that continues to struggle and suffer. You're talking about the broader Oakland community that has experienced a significant amount of gentrification. And that bothers me. Oakland is somewhere that I consider home. When I was coming up, when I moved to Oakland, when I was 17 years old with my first husband, but we won't talk about that.
No.
And so that took me in. Oakland made me. I wouldn't be where I am if not for Oakland. Mm-hmm. And so to see what's happening to the community and the people within it, that bothers me. And this project gives me an opportunity for long-term impact. That's, and so you're absolutely right, Rick. That is absolutely where it's at. This other stuff, yes, I'm passionate about my babies. Absolutely. And I'm not changing that. But like I said, I'm an empty nester. I ain't got nothing but time to do all this other stuff while my kids are out living their best life.
So you're golden.
Yeah, I'm golden, and I get to execute. Because yes, it is, like, to the person that was looking for advice, there is no choice but to get it done. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing the right thing, then God is behind you. You can make that happen. Yeah.
God, I'm so motivated right now. One last question I have to ask. So you, I'm sure you know people on the 88 Oakland A's team. Do they ever ask themselves, how did they lose to that Dodgers team? I mean, that was a World Series that they should have won. Like, how did that happen? I mean, I know Gibson hit that home run, but do they ask themselves, how did we lose this? Like, what happened?
Well, all I do is hear a lot of blaming of Tony right to his face.
Oh, and then wow. Okay.
And it's fun banter. It's fun banter. But, you know, I think I was still in high school at that time. So, which is another running joke.
Oh, Lottie, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. You have a home here. If you ever want to come
absolutely.
On, come on. If there's a player that you want to, you know, bring on and talk, more than welcome.
Please do. Yeah.
You guys.
They are more than welcome to come on. And yes, thank you very much for all of your time. It was a pleasure having you on.
You're so motivating.
It's great. Yeah.
Thanks, you guys. It was great being here.
So, thank you.
So you want to give a quick prediction on this year? Who do you like this year?
You cut out. Sorry. Who do I like? Padres.
Padres.
Really?
Okay. Well, I mean,
they did make a lot of moves.
But Padres they're kicking butt. Like, they've just lost for so long. And so we feel bad. Like, can y'all get something? Like, you know, like you do. Yeah. You got to feel bad for them. The Mets are like, you look at them and you know they're going to be okay. You know, and so it's like, let me root for the handicapped kid over there. Like,
have you had the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Cohen at all?
No. I'd much rather speak to his wife, though, because that's one ship she's holding down.
Yeah. And the Yankees? And the Yankees? Any word on the Yankees?
You know what? I'm rooting for Gene Afterman all day long.
Okay.
You guys, she's a force. Cashman wouldn't be who he is without her. No.
That, wow. Well said. It was said on the show. There you go.
Yeah.
Lottie, thank you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Have a good night.
You
Man, I would run through a wall for her, dude. I would run through a wall
for her. She was on point. Like, she was fired up.
Get your shit together. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Like, that's like for people out there who like want to be like leaders and look for leaders. Like, that's what you look for. Like, somebody like that, when you go into work and you got a boss like that, like, that is exactly what you look for. That that is a person who can take you to the next level. Like, you need that extra kick in your ass. Like, that's somebody you want to work for. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she's got all the right tools. She's got all the right mindset. You know, it's great that she's doing the real estate, the land development there, you know, giving back. And, you know, she's... You know, she's doing great things.
Man, that was so motivating, though.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. And, you know, it was absolutely a pleasure having her on.
Yes.
And we even had a special guest, too. So we had a special guest in there, too.
Yeah, so, that was awesome. Only at the Fan Experience, folks.
Yeah, it only happens here, people.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know.
Talking about GMs and talking about your best, I will let you have the floor.
Yes. So we were talking about the Mets. We said we would not mention it to Lonnie, but the Mets terminated Mr. Jared Porter, the general manager of, I mean, what was it, 2 weeks, two and a half weeks? So he was behind that Lindor trade, but there was a report that surfaced last night from ESPN about him sending 62 lewd and harassing text messages to a anonymous female reporter back in 2016, and she came forward to ESPN for it. And the Mets are under new ownership, and Steve Cohen said it was going to be a team based on integrity and, you know, a different culture, and none of this, like, you know, none of this wish-washy shit. I mean, we've already cursed.
Yeah, no, we're cursed. You know, so we're marking this one. Yeah.
We're marking it explicit on this one anyway, so we're good. So, yeah, Steve Cohen tweeted this morning, early this morning. Yeah. I think it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I heard it on Boomer and Geo, really, as it dropped, that Jared Porter was terminated. It's all about integrity for the new Mets clubhouse. And, you know, I mean, got to work real quick, and he just killed the distraction. And, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, today, like, you have all these instances, like Kareem Hunt. Granted, Kareem Hunt was let go by the Chiefs.
Yes.
Pretty much right away.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, still open investigations.
Right.
Still.
Yeah.
Still. And this and Antonio Brown is for rape accusations.
Yeah.
Jared Porter was just sending pictures, not saying that either is good.
No.
Everything is horrible. Yeah. But Jared Porter was fired immediately. Antonio Brown is still under investigation for rape accusations, and he's playing in an NFC Championship game. I mean, but and an owner of the Washington football team still under speculation of a lot of different things. So the fact that Steve Cohen nipped this in the bud right away, got rid of the distraction, I commend him for that, because, you know, that's just, I think that's just the right way to do things. It's just, you know, just get rid of it. You know, if you're going to cause a problem, if you're going to bring, you know, bad things to the table, we don't want you.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, man. They needed to excise this immediately. I mean, and, you know, what was, like, did this guy really think nobody was going to find out about this? Like, you're sending it to a reporter. You get a job in one of the most – in the biggest market in the world, New York City. And this is the thing. Like, people do things, and they think they can just get away with it. And, like, nobody's going to find out. Like, I honestly, when I heard this morning, I was like, you know, what was he thinking? Like, just really?
Hey,
he
wasn't fuck.
Yeah, just like, what fuck. The fuck were you thinking? No. Like, what's – like, come on, dude. Like, grow – like, wake up, man. Like, that's not going to get out. Like, somebody's not going to say something like that. And Cohen acted – did the right thing. He fired him on the spot, as he should have, man. You can't tolerate stuff like that. And in today's world, you can't – and you can't have somebody like that leading your team and going out there and being the face of the franchise as a GM and doing all that and putting a reporter like that in a rough situation. Like, you know, you can't do that. What's wrong with you, bro? And part of it's just like I sometimes like I don't know, man. Like, some people just don't think, like, especially in the sports world, like, that's not gonna get out. Like, of course it's gonna get out, that's gonna leak out. But Cohen did the right thing, he fired him as he should have. Sandy Alston put out a tough statement that, you know, they want to have an organization of integrity. Could you imagine if the Wilpons on this team would have happened? This thing probably would have dragged out in the week, you know. But that's why you have
I mean,
right?
If only that. I mean, come on. I mean, let's just be real. But on a personal note,
yeah.
Why the fuck are you sending? If she's not responding after like
three, dude, that's like four, stalking. Five, that's sick.
62.
Yeah.
Text messages.
Something's like, wrong with you.
That is. Dude, you she got doesn't issues. Like you.
Yes.
She doesn't like you.
It's that. It's not you. It's me.
She doesn't.
She's like not you. Interested, no, man. No, let it go.
Sending a picture of your junk isn't going to be like, that's what these text messages have been missing. Yeah. No, no, guy. That's not what they're missing. Some people just don't like other people. And it's just the way of the world.
And that's nothing wrong with that.
But there is, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. And I'm not advocating for Jared Porter to come on board. But if you are struggling in meeting,
there's a site you could go through.
In meeting, you know, new friends and new relationships, please go and sign up for Playing the Field. Not Jared Porter. I will definitely be, you know, keeping an eye on that, on those signups to take him out of the picture. But Playing the Field is a sports fan dating app and community, you know, for you to meet friends, to go to games with, play sports with, or find your MVP. Beta is available right now at playthefielddating.com. Please go and check it out and let us know what you think and what features you would like to see as we are still developing the mobile versions. So Jared Porter
fired 2 weeks into the job. Only the Mets do
on a you know, multi-million-dollar deal, you know, contract. So he doesn't have, you know, he has another the big contract. So he's going from eating porterhouses to eating steakums, steak and shake, and
it's spam.
So his name is now Jared Spam. Think about it. He was spamming
this girl,
and you know what? She's anonymous, and let's keep it that way.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
We can't drag this through. We can't put a microscope on whoever this is, you know, but the fact that she's been living, you know, and keeping this in silence for the last 4 years, I know she's not watching the show right now, but
no,
if she is, our prayers go out to you, you know, and it's great that you talked about it, and you know, hopefully, you know, you can come out of this, because you know, it's definitely not something that anyone should go through, and you know, it was taken care of swiftly, and
yeah, we're done. And good for her to come out and call him out, man. Like, good for her to have the guts to say, yo, this dude sent me 62 pics. It was wrong, and he shouldn't.
Were they all pictures or?
I think they were pics and texts or whatever. But like, dude, after like the third one where she's not responding to you, I mean,
dude, like, come on,
cut your losses, bro. Like, be like, all right, I guess she's not into me. That's okay. Listen,
you know, now that we're talking about it, I sent you like 62 text messages today. You didn't send me.
Listen, I'm busy at work, man. I can get to them when I can get to them. When people are hounding me, I have no choice, you know. But it's just, it sucks for the Mets. Here, the Mets have a big thing with Cohen, buys a team, changing the franchise, brings Sandy back. They just get Lindor, they get Carrasco, they got good momentum, and then this dunce goes out and pulls that thing, man. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, he pulled it 4 years ago.
He pulled it 4 years ago, but he should have disclosed it. Like, he should have been like, look, you know, I did this 4 years ago. I guess he 4 years, he probably would have thought, oh, you know. But you become a general manager, you get into the biggest media market in the world, you know. Good for her that she called him out on it. She's right. He shouldn't be, you know, he shouldn't be the face of the franchise if he's doing that stuff. Is the guy married too? Is he married?
I do not know.
If he's married and he did that to his wife, then he's a dunce. He's a, you know, he's just a bad dude.
Oh, he wasn't before.
Of course he was, but
yeah,
you know, and then Sandy,
it's just double.
Yeah, I mean, Sandy's like, it's a wake. They didn't bet this. No shit, you didn't bet this. I mean, come on.
Yeah. He was divorced in 2014.
Okay.
This happened in 2016.
Yeah, but like, you're vetting, you need to change your vetting process. Like, you do. Like, how do you not uncover this stuff, man?
Well, he acknowledges sending them.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They're not going to hire a GM now. The Mets are not going to hire. They're going to just keep things as is.
They don't know.
Sandy runs the team. So,
They don't need it. They're good.
You're good.
I mean, you know, let's sign George Springer and
I wanted to touch on that because for all you guys here in the tri-state area, a gentleman, a young man by the name of Deshaun Watson was at the Brooklyn Nets Milwaukee Bucks game last night.
Yeah.
I think he was there as a guest of one James Harden. And I think James Harden came from Houston. And I think Deshaun is enjoying New York. You see where I'm going with this, Jet fans? Do you see what could be on the horizon? That Deshaun Watson gets the trade that he wants and he comes over and he's the quarterback of our beloved New York Jets. And him and Robert Saleh lead us to the promised land, to a Super Bowl. And so, you know, Boomer was saying that today on Boomer and Gio where they're smoking.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about it a lot
this morning.
And you know, it was great. And
here's the question I'm going to pose to you.
Yeah.
And be honest. Do you give up 3 first rounders and another pick for this guy?
Well, I think you try to move Darnold if they want him, and then try to give up a couple of things of draft capital. But let's think about this for a second. Okay, This is Deshaun Watson. Okay, so say you don't make the trade and you go and draft Justin Fields, which there's reports that they don't even want Justin Fields.
I think they're not in love with any of the guys.
I think they're gonna be going for the Darnold experiment, and they're gonna probably go with Devonta Smith.
That's the guy I want.
So if we're giving up Devonta Smith, I still would be okay with it because, dude. This guy, Watson, is no joke. Like, this guy was putting up record numbers.
Yeah.
Okay? He was bringing them to, 10-win seasons, 11-win seasons with no offensive line. He's never had an offensive line in his career. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he's still doing that. And he still was putting up numbers. And DeAndre Hopkins was no longer on the team.
Right.
So he's still putting up numbers this year. Okay? You bring him to New York. You have Mims. You got Perriman, you got Herndon, you got a couple of backs. Granted, do you want Devonta Smith in New York? Of course, but
I do.
But the thing is, people coming out of the draft, they're wild cards, are they not?
Yeah,
you know what Watson can do already. Right. I understand Devonta Smith is going to be a game changer.
Yeah.
But if we have Darnold throwing to him, and then we have to figure out who we're going to get next year to throw to him, and then next year to throw, and then the year after that to throw to him. But if we can have Deshaun Watson until 2025 and, make some kind of other move. I mean, wide receivers get moved all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you could figure out a way to get somebody over here. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. If we can get Watson and Watson wants to come here, and it costs us, the 2 first round picks this year and the first round pick next year, I'm okay with it. And it's not a big hit on the cap either, Boomer was saying as well.
Right. He was saying because the Jets have like $7 million in the cap. Here's the thing.
I think it's nine against Watson.
Is that what it is?
I think it's nine against his 10.5.
If you're trading all those, I mean, he still needs somebody to throw the ball to. I'm not sold on Perriman. He can go by. Crowder is always going to be
Listen to me for a second, though.
Go ahead.
The picks that we got are because of Jamal Adams.
Right.
Because we passed on Deshaun Watson to get Jamal Adams. Correct?
That was the Patrick Mahomes draft, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson, I think they were in that draft.
But you took Jamal Adams
before
you took Watson.
Right.
So, really, it's just the writing of the ship. It's kind of the makeup call, if you will. Yeah. And really, are you're losing one pick? I mean, in reality.
Devonta Smith is just too good to pass up, man. I really believe that. I think that kid is a stud, man. The Jets need a guy like that on the offense. Look, it's great that we're drafting tackles and we're building a team, but eventually we need like somebody, throw the ball to, unless you're going to tell me that you're going to make a trade for somebody like OBJ or Allen Robinson's going to come over in free agency, then that's something different. But, man, that guy's a stud.
No, he's going to be – he's he could be a game changer. I mean,
right.
Let's be real. Like, you know, there was a lot of talk about a lot of different receivers. Yeah. And, you know, how many panned out this year? How many didn't? Like, look, Justin Jefferson wasn't supposed to be the top one, and the guy broke records. The
guy broke records, yeah. So. But, I'm with you. I think the Jets have to put something together to see if they can make that trade. Like, you have to make an effort to make this trade. Like,
you have to go after the guy. Table.
Yes.
You have to at least have a seat at the table. You have to give it, you know, a fighting chance.
Yeah.
That's the absolute minimum. Because you know what? If you lose, your fan base will still be like, okay, you tried your hardest.
Right. Yeah.
But if you don't try at all,
that's a problem. I mean, because it's right there, man. Like, the guy is pretty much saying, I want to come here. Now, he was also saying he wants to go to Miami. Like, Miami could get rid of Tua. That's a thing. But
Miami's more in a win now situation.
Yeah.
They have an established head coach at this point. You know, he's been doing good things. They have a defense that, you know, I mean, they scored. Right. They had a turnover every game, right?
Every game, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's
so they're more ready to win.
They're more ready to win in a division that, you know, still is pretty open. But I'll tell you one thing though, if the Jets like sleep on this, and Miami doesn't want to get rid of Tua, and fucking Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft come fucking calling the Texans and be like, "Listen, I want Watson." You know, and they didn't give any kind of fighting chance to even have an inkling of a opportunity to go to the Jets.
Yeah.
Then you're going to give them away to fucking Patriots. I mean, every team should be called. The Giants should call too.
No. You're not. Daniel Jones at this point is better than Sam Darnold. I don't know that you trade. They're going to stick with Daniel Jones for another year, so they're not going to.
You don't think Watson and Barkley and the receivers that they have would be a nice fucking team?
It is, but I don't think I think the Giants are still another year away, maybe two. They're not there yet. They're another year away. The Dolphins are ready to win. Like, if he went to the Dolphins, forget about it. They'd be.
Saying the Giants should at least.
Right. Oh yeah, I mean they should.
I'm not saying Washington should go there.
I don't know that the Giants. I like Daniel Jones. I really do. I think he plays well. I think he fits that system. Like, he's right too, for that team. But I don't know that you blow it up to bring Deshaun Watson there. I don't think that's the situation for him. It's either the Jets or Miami. But if you're the Jets, you got to sit down and think about a package for the guy. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, make an attempt. And if it doesn't work out, you draft Devonta Smith at 2. You got the pick at 23 where you can draft a tackle or get a corner because you need somebody on the other side of Bryce Hall. And then keep building that team. Salah's going to have a top 10 defense. It's on the offensive side of the ball where they need help. And we haven't had a stud since Keyshawn Johnson. When's the last? Oh, and Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes and, you know, Dustin Keller. But we haven't really had that in the last day.
Yeah, no. And obviously the kid is – he's a game changer. He could be that Tyreek Hill that changes everything.
That guy is incredible, man. Tyreek Hill is something else, man.
I mean, look. I mean, he put it away. He put the game away the other day.
Yeah, and he shoved the coach. I don't know if you saw that, but he shoved the coach.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he got a little excited on the sideline and shoved the coach. Tyreek Hill, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got a knack for being a little.
He's got a temper.
Pushy.
Yeah, he's got a temper.
This just
came over on Bleacher Report on Twitter. Blue Jays have a deal in place to sign George Springer pending a physical.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
I mean, you know. Whatever. I mean, it's not. It's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
But, you know, I mean, it would have been nice to have him in the lineup. But at the same time, it wasn't pertinent that we need to get him. So I'm not going to be upset. We got Lindor.
Yeah, and you got Carrasco.
I think we made a trade for another starter.
Yeah, the brand the Brad Hand thing hasn't worked out though. That like that's some what happened there? That looks like it blew up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, here every Tuesday, everyone. Yeah. And Thursday.
And Thursdays, yeah. 9 o'clock.
I think we've covered it. The Nets are you know are doing pretty hot right now, and Harden's playing hot, and Kyrie's supposed to be coming back.
Kyrie, I saw his press conference. He's dealing with a lot, but he's coming back. That's good. That team is going to be a force. My beloved Knicks won 2 in a row. RJ with a double-double yesterday against Orlando. Julius playing well. IQ, my man, Emmanuel Quigley. He got pulled in the fourth by Elfrid Payton. And Tibbs likes to roll these. He likes to go with the vets. But I think it's got to come to a point where you gotta let IQ start. Mm-hmm. When Alex Burks comes back, he's got to find a way into the lineup. And Knox has got to get on the floor. I think he's got to change it up a little bit, get those young guys in there. You know, Reggie Bullock is streaky with the three. His defense is okay. And then Peyton can sometimes just go like a whole game without an assist. Like, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the way my Knicks are playing. They're building a team. They're playing well. And like I said, RJ's playing well, you know, I think it's 2019, I think 22 or something like that, last four games. The Knicks are, listen, they're building something over there, but the Nets, man.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Oh, and kudos to Steph Curry last night in Golden State. They were down, I think it was like 16 or something. They came back and won a game, and Steph hit a three over Anthony Davis. So like, wow. So shout out to Steph Curry, man. Unbelievable, that guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's a player, all right.
Yeah.
Thursday, can you believe it? It's gonna be our 6-month mark and episode 50.
Yes.
So it should be fun. And you know, I mean it's been a fast 50. If you ask me. You know, it's fast 6 months, fast 50. But it's been an absolute blast. You know, coming on every Tuesday and Thursday, and just you know, talking about sports and meeting you know great people like Lonnie. I mean, come on, like you know,
dude,
it's crazy.
Who wouldn't want her as an agent? Like seriously, like I want an agent like that, right? Like just be like, yo, get your shit together. I'm gonna go take care of this, and we're gonna get this. Like.
Well, I mean, she only reps like 8 people, so it's like winning the lottery if she chooses you.
Yeah, but you know what? That I like that strategy because she's like, I'm gonna be the best 8.
Yeah,
and like if your shit's not together, then you're not gonna be, I'm not gonna represent you. Go somewhere else, and I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a tough task. I mean, you know, you have to really, it's there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah,
I mean it's no small task. So, you know, it's good that you know she keeps it small and you know and she's more intimate with every single player that she manages. You know, so kudos to her, and you know she's doing great because of it. So, but she's also working extremely hard, and she's got a lot of great things going on.
Yep,
and looking to give back to the community, and what did she say? Baseball Academy in Dominican, right?
Yes, the Baseball Academy in Dominican. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean. You know, go for her, and yeah, she doesn't need to go out there and become commissioner. You know, she's doing great.
Could you imagine her as the commissioner? Oh man,
let's go!
I'd be awesome.
Let's go!
Be so awesome.
Whoa, let's
she's
go.
Like, I suspended you for 10 games, and that's it. There is no arbitration. What's that? It's 10 games.
Let's do it. Yeah. All right. So, thank you everyone for watching, and we'll be back Thursday night. Episode 50 for the Fan Experience Podcast. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do, for friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests. Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.